Emily Wright.
Hi, Sam McClary. Ooh, it's hard work today.
It's hard work today. Do you have this weird sense of deja vu?
I do have a weird sense of
deja
vu.
I feel like I've said hello, Emily Wright, at least 7 times.
For the benefit of our listeners, although you're not meant to, you know, give people access to the behind the scenes, it breaks the illusion, but we've been having a few problems with our microphones and dangly bits. For anyone that didn't listen last week, that's going to come as a shock.
Yeah, but you should go and listen to last week and then you'll understand all about dangly bits.
You will. It's to do with the equipment. Oh, I am on fire already.
I think we should probably move on from those.
Can I just clarify again? The recording equipment?
Yeah. So, is this episode 4?
I think it might well be.
Episode 4 already. We are powering them out at the moment. So, this week, you had who in the studio? Oops. Who did you have to interview in the studio?
You had
week?
Who in the studio?
Oh, hello.
That is a bizarre way of putting that sentence.
No, I'm sorry.
In the studio with me this week, I had Ryan Masiello from VTS. So one of the founders. He was over from New York. It's quite good. We're on episode 4 and this is our second North American podcast, which is fantastic. It's really exciting that there's so much interest from New York in particular and what's happening in London that these guys are over so often.
And we have such global reach.
Exactly. So Ryan popped in. It was pouring with rain and he was enjoying the British weather. Mm. He's over here in the UK 1 week out of every month. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he's actually, for a North American prop tech guy, he's actually quite accessible for the UK market because he's over here a lot. So he was over just sort of having a general chat about VTS, 15 months on from the Hightower merger, talking about the platform. It's obviously one of the best known in the sector.
So what does VTS do again, just for in case there are anyone out anyone? In case there is anyone out there who doesn't use it already?
It means that VTS stands for View the Space and it is a leasing software platform. Right. And I do ask Ryan in the podcast to explain it in a way that only somebody who founded it themselves could explain. And he does it very well. Mm-hmm. So he came in to talk about that and made some really interesting points about how difficult it is to go from corporate real estate background to a tech role. We're talking a lot about people switching, swapping, upskilling, moving into the tech sector, how exciting it is and the links between property and tech. But he made some really good points that he, you know, can make firsthand about how tricky that transition can be. But one of the main things we talked about was the role of the CTO, the Chief Technology Officer. Ryan has some really interesting thoughts on this. He will not be able to join us on the 1st of March at Tech Talk Live, which will be happening at 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. for anyone that wants to come along on how to hire a CTO. We've got Palmer Capital involved, CBRE and various other speakers. But he was here now talking about his thoughts on it and about that leap, or not even that leap, but that step from CTO to CEO, which would not have been the case even 12 months ago, I don't think. Basically, all about the importance of that role and your tech team, whether that's a big company, small company, however you might be pushing your digital transformation forward. Mm-hmm. And this is what he had to say. We have a little bit of a theme in the first quarter of this year, one that I hope continues, of some guests from across the pond. We were speaking to Aaron Block and Zach Schwartzman from Metaprop a couple of weeks ago. And today we have another, well, I was about to say another New Yorker in the studio, Ryan Masiello from VTS. But are you a New Yorker, born and bred?
I've lived in New York for about 16 years now, so technically, I am accepted as a New Yorker, but I was born in New Jersey and raised in New Jersey.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
10 years is the mark where everybody gives you a lot of crap in New York until you pass that, then you're accepted.
It's the same in London, I think. 10 years and then you're a Londoner.
Is it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're basically an honorary Londoner today because it's absolutely pouring with rain. It's grey skies. It's miserable. You've got your umbrella with you. And when you reply to what I've just said, you will officially have gone on the record talking about the English weather.
That's right. Well, and this is a big week for me because I actually did get my UK visa, my working visa. So I do feel officially like I'm now a Brit.
Well, the rain is here to make you feel very much at home.
It is, yeah. No, I feel comfortable in this weather now.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. We've spoken in the past to various people from VTS and formerly Hightower, and it's great to have you here. And we'll be seeing you out at MIPIM as well.
Yep. But
I think that most people now who listen to this podcast certainly and know what's going on in the tech world or indeed the property world will know all about VTS. But just in case there's anyone out there listening who doesn't, could you give a little bit of an overview?
Sure, yeah. VTS is the leading leasing and asset management platform in the world. And at a super high level, our focus is really on working with landlords and brokers to attract and convert and ultimately retain their most valuable asset, which we believe is the tenant. So enabling them to do all that in real time from one platform.
And how have you found business and the general market vibe, both in the States and here in the UK, specifically over the last, 12 to 18 months? I'd say that that's when we've certainly noticed a bit of a change and a bit of a kickstart among some of the big companies who are really starting to look at the technology platforms and the software platforms they're using.
Yeah, I think that really, certainly in the States and definitely within the UK, I think there's been a tremendous uptake over the last 24 months in people really starting to take a movement towards technology very, very real. I always say that I've spent 2 years in the London market now, or in the UK, and I've been blown away by how fast this market has actually been to adopt technology. I think it's moved a lot faster than we would have expected, and it's something that we're really excited about. And when I talk to the opportunity here to our team, you know, I genuinely believe that if we continue to execute that we have the way that we have been around product, and if our customers continue to adopt the software in the way that they've been, we could be looking at a scenario in 18 to 24 months where, you know, I feel like the UK and London specifically could be actually ahead of the States in the way that they're actually leveraging our platform. So it's been exciting. Again, we've seen a lot of momentum over the last 24 months.
I have a question there that I think some people listening to this will be asking themselves, and some people will be saying, oh God, I hope she doesn't ask this question. But for you, I mean, we're talking about London and we're talking about the UK, and anytime you talk about that, particularly when it comes to sort of overseas interests, whatever that might be, we ask about Brexit. You know, certainly on the tech side of things, is that anything that is on your radar as a potential concern, or do you just see the London market plowing ahead despite any potential uncertainty, shall we say?
Well, with respect to the way that people use our product, or really think any technology, I actually think that people don't want to hear me say this, but a market that softens a little bit is actually going to be something that helps spark the need for more technology and better use of technology. If you look at vacancy rates, especially in central London, they are mind-blowingly low. So I think it's like a 5% vacancy rate in central London, and that is the lowest vacancy rates have ever been comparatively in New York in the tightest, smallest submarket. So I think that the market here has been in an extraordinarily healthy place. And that's when people kind of feel like they don't really need to change, when there's no real pain that they're enduring. So I think that it's going to be something that actually will wind up benefiting the industry from a technology perspective in a big way, because people are definitely now coming back to us. People who, you know, didn't want to take our call 6 months ago or 8 months ago, and they're starting to rethink the way that they are that they need to be investing in technology across the board. So I think it's been a good thing.
Okay, and do you think that you know, those phone calls that are now being returned, and that willingness to invest in technology is something which is part of a bigger drive towards digital transformation? Because a lot of big companies certainly are still really struggling with that, I think.
Yeah, I think the two working together have been very helpful, and the reality of it is that this industry, you know, everybody tends to follow, right? So, you know, we've seen the early adopters come off the sidelines again in this market, I think, in a big way. And there's only so long you can ignore your group of peers getting bigger and bigger. So when we're calling people and they had no idea that somebody like Landsec is now leveraging our product on their entire portfolio, or Derwent, or Aberdeen, and some of the names that continue to just pop up as adopters or early adopters of technology, I think are surprising people, and they're starting to feel like, hey, we need to get on board or get left behind. Mm. And that's been, for a lot of people, you know, there's early adopters within some of these large companies, and for a lot of people, that's the extra sort of proof point that they've needed to drive some of these initiatives internally that they didn't have 8 months ago or 12 months ago. So I think that this idea of digital transformation has been around for a while, but now it's carrying real weight within these organizations, and people that have been the early adopters, again, within them, now have a lot of proof points that have been helpful in moving things forward.
I think, you know, at the beginning of this podcast, I asked you to kind of clarify what it is that VTS is and what it is that VTS does. For the people that might not know, I would imagine that most people do know. And that in itself is something that I think a lot of people will be interested in finding out how that's been achieved. What is it, do you think, that has set VTS so, I mean, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say so far ahead of the pack, really, in terms of property companies really understanding what that software does and what the platform does and how it delivers for them, and also for the tech companies as well, to really understand what it is that you guys are about and how they fit in around that?
Yeah, I kind of break it. I think that there's three things that have been critical in our success. And so number one is definitely the product. And we've been able to really develop a product that works the way that people need it to work. And I think that's been a big differentiator, you know, for the companies that have come out over the last 30 years, you know, putting products in front of people that really aren't delivering on the promise. And so that sort of second pillar is the team. And I think the way that we've been able to actually deliver on the product side is actually bringing together the right team. And so that is a combination of world-class engineers and a very, very deep bench of domain expertise. If you look at our company versus really any other company in the space, so that's companies that have been around for, you know, 30 plus years, you know, I can confidently say that we've got more people within our team that are on the sales, account management, and product side that have sat in the seat as a broker or an owner, and being able to translate those pain points to our product team and making sure that there's a real partnership there has been critical to our success. And then when you look at our peer group, you know, there's some people that have got great companies and great products, but there are either nobody on those teams that have real commercial real estate expertise, or very few, one mm-hmm. or two. And so we just think that if you look at the founding team, almost all of us have, at least on the non-technical side, have commercial real estate backgrounds. And we continue to make that a focal point of the way that we hire, making sure that there's a real balance between those two sides. And third is mentality. I mean, if you talk to any one of our customers or certainly our prospects, we partner in making the product successful and sticky within an organization. And we also tend to not take no for an answer. So it really is mentality. And it's a very, very difficult thing growing a business when people are constantly telling you that they don't want to change or hearing no. And I just think that, again, given our backgrounds and the thick skin that we were able to grow in commercial real estate, it's been critical in helping us to knock down some of the walls that have been put up over the last couple of years.
You know, touching on that, this might seem like an really obvious question to ask, but I think that people will be interested to hear more about that. You talked about, you know, how difficult it is to work against a tide of people not wanting to change and people saying no and having that thick skin. Would you say then that this industry and, you know, what you guys are trying to forge ahead with just isn't for everyone?
Definitely not. Definitely not. No, is there a question more on the actual side of commercial real estate or commercial real estate tech?
I think on the side of commercial real estate.
100%. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason that the sort of churn ratio in this industry is probably close to 80%. And that's people that either leave the industry altogether or they wind up doing something very different than the day that they started. Mm. It is an extraordinarily challenging industry. And I think one of the reasons that it's challenging is because in many of these organizations are just not set up for success. And I now know that having spent, 6 years building a software company and working with a board and other entrepreneurs that have grown big businesses, what it takes to successfully bring somebody on board into a new company, to onboard that person, to prepare them for the challenges that are ahead, it's an enormous investment. And you need to have a well-oiled machine to do that. And we've since built that at VTS. But I can't look at one of our... really almost anybody within the commercial real estate market and say that when they hire somebody new that they're really investing in preparing that person for the challenges that lie ahead, because it is a very, very difficult industry and the mentality even until today is very much sink or swim, which is not the best way to grow a business.
So if you were going to say anything to anybody who's currently, I mean, because you started off at Cushman & Wakefield, then went to JLL, is that right?
Correct,
Jones
yeah.
& LaSalle, yeah. And moved on from there. So if you were going to give a message to anyone who's currently sat in a commercial real estate role, either thinking, tech, that looks fun, I could do that, or thinking, I see which way this industry is going, and I think that realigning myself would be a good idea. The types of skills and the types of personality traits that they're going to need to make it in what is quite a different environment, as you've been describing. What do you think some of those are, apart from that thick skin?
Look, I think that the industry is it's certainly going to change, but fundamentally, this is an industry that is made on deal making. So you're going to need a lot of the same qualities, but I think you're going to have a much more open mind around the way that you do your job. And I think that people are going to, the quality that is ultimately going to make people over the next 5 to 10 years successful is to not wait on the companies they work for to give them all the tools that they need, because that will probably never happen. So I think people have to be very, very curious. They have to be somebody that takes a lot of pride in self-learning. And I think that way too often the industry uses the term, all we have is our time. And then they don't really walk into work every day and actually think about how they can become more efficient. So I think somebody that is highly focused on efficiency is going to be really successful over the next 5 to 10 years.
And what was it that made you make that move?
Well, I could say the latter. So, I mean, we always say that we started the business off of a pain point. And for me, I would say within my first 6 months of being in the industry, I became obsessed with efficiency, because I realized that there was only so many hours in the day. And even when I started working, coming in a few hours earlier and leaving a few hours later, there really wasn't enough time in the day. So I became obsessed with, how do I make myself more efficient by using CRM the right way and making sure I'm getting the most leverage out of that? How do I truly become mobile? There's no solution for certain problems that I have in my day. So how can I pull from creative things that other industries have done to try to help solve my problems? And so for me, that was the real driver. Like this need to become more efficient is ultimately what drove, and the belief that everybody else had that problem and that would be solving a major problem in the market is what ultimately drove me to leave and start the company.
And I know that you were saying earlier that, the UK has the potential, and London in particular, to, maybe even leapfrog the States when it comes to technology. But I'd be interested in your opinion as an American on this. Is that something that the British are accused of occasionally is that we just aren't entrepreneurial enough, and we don't believe in what we're doing enough. And there isn't that spirit that maybe the States is better known for, particularly on the East and West Coasts. Would you agree with that, or do you think we're getting better at it?
I would.
I'm putting you in an impossible position.
No, I've been asked this question a number of times. It actually came up at lunch yesterday, and I actually do think that it's true. And
what, that we're a bit less entrepreneurial?
I wouldn't say less entrepreneurial. It's almost as if there's a there's more comfort in settling at a certain point, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you talk to the founders in the States, particularly New York, San Francisco, I mean, the visions for their companies are just enormous. And I think they're willing to risk a lot more in order to make that happen. And like for myself personally, for some of my co-founders, you know, we worked for years without taking salaries. We invested a ton of our own money, and it's not like any of us came from very wealthy families, into the business. Where if you talk to, I think, a number of, well, and again, I'm speaking from just the people that I have met, a lot of them seem to have a vision that, I don't want to say stops at a certain point, but you can tell that they're not willing to, there just seems like there's a little bit more of a limit on where they want to go with some of their products, and they tend to take salaries earlier, and they tend not to raise as much money because they want to keep as much of their equity as they can. So look, there's no right answer, but I definitely feel like the vibe in the States is at a different level than I've seen so far in this market.
Okay, great. And I think the other thing I really wanted to talk to you about was we're doing an event on March the 1st, which unfortunately you're not going to be in the UK for. So if it's raining, then you'll miss it. all about how to hire a CTO and why it's important to hire a CTO. And when I say CTO, you know, there's heads of innovation and the infrastructure behind the technology division or the enterprise division of a company. You have some thoughts on this, and I'd be really interested to hear them. And I'm sure that our listeners, given that they won't be able to hear from you on the 1st of March, would be interested to hear them too.
Yeah, I mean, and so from my perspective, and just to start from square one, when I started VTS, I had no idea what a CTO was,
mm-hmm.
Because we were selling directly into the business team, into the asset.
We should probably
managers.
Say, for the benefit of everybody, it is Chief Technology Officer.
Chief Technology Officer. Sorry, yeah. We were selling directly into the business teams, and it wasn't until eight to twelve months in where people started saying, "You have to talk to our CTO," and we were like, "Well, who is this person? What do they do?" And initially, it became a huge roadblock for us because we kind of felt like they didn't understand what we were trying to achieve, and they felt like we were just encroaching on their process and not incorporating them in their process. And then it almost became like this war between VTS and the CTO community. But we learned a lot about that role over the next, call it 12 months. And fast forward to today, I'm sort of fascinated by the role because I think that when implemented correctly, it can be the most highly leveraged role within an organization to truly drive change, to drive efficiency, because it is somebody that is there to enable the business teams. And great CTOs are amazing at partnering with business teams to make sure that they're implementing technology systems that work, and they are really good at not boiling the ocean and actually focusing on small wins to drive change within the organization. So, and I also think that role has changed a lot in the last 6 years, and either in the type of person that winds up in that role. So you're seeing companies like Blackstone that have their CTO came from a company called CapIQ, where he was one of the founders and CTO. So they wanted somebody that was highly dynamic. So somebody that understands how to build a business. They wanted somebody that understood the technical side of the business. But if you talk to Bill, you know, you'd have no idea that he was an engineer in the past because he's so business savvy. So the CTO role has become so business savvy, or will be continue to become so business savvy, or more business savvy. And I think that when you hire correctly in that role, it's going to be, like I said, a huge point of leverage for an organization.
And when it comes to hiring the right person, obviously this is, you know, generalizing anything we talk about from this point, because ultimately it will come down to the individual person, whether they're a right fit for the company and what kind of skills they bring. But what is it that people should be looking for? I think that property companies still would be very unsure as to what it is they'd be looking for. And is it, you know, I suppose one question could be, you know, is there a benefit from hiring outside of the company and outside of the industry, even maybe?
So when I think about the right way to hire that role, it's almost the same way that I think about the way that we built our company, which is it's not a one person job, and you're going to need multiple people within that team in order to make that function successful. And so whether you're hiring a very technical CTO that then has maybe somebody right below him or riding right next to him that really understands the business side of the equation and teaming up together to be successful, or you have a CTO that might be understand the technical side but actually might be a little bit more business savvy but has somebody that's really strong on the technical side in order to be successful. I think it's going to come down to you want a leader that is not going to have an ego, that is going to be, that shows that they have a really strong track record in one of those two respects, and that knows how to grow a team. So almost, I would say almost the same way you'd think of hiring any other executive. Mm. You're not going to hire any other executive and expect them to be successful as a lone wolf. You want somebody that comes in with a lot of operating strength, knows how to build a team. And I think organizations need to get behind that concept of not only do we need a strong CTO, we need to make sure that we give him the tools and the people that he needs to be successful.
And do you think we could get into a position, or perhaps we already are in some cases in a position, where the CTO is, you know, the second down to the CEO?
In certain cases, yeah, I don't think that's so far-fetched. I don't think that's so far-fetched. And again, I think the best example I have is somebody like a Bill Murphy at Blackstone, who is so dynamic in understanding various parts of the business that they could become a tremendous advocate to the CEO and helping them think about lots of ways to solve lots of different problems within the organization.
And what's next for you guys, for VTS? What are your plans?
That's the million-dollar question. Look, I think we have been blessed in that, you know, we have a lot of different paths that we can take. But it's also a little bit of a curse, right? Because there's a lot of things that we need to work through and prioritize and make sure that they're in lockstep with our strategy. And so every time we go through that exercise, you know, we do feel like it comes back to the beginning, where we want VTS to be the one place where, whether you're a landlord or a broker, you do your job. So the equivalent being the Bloomberg of commercial real estate. Mm-hmm. And the things that are next for us, I think thematically will be... will come in two areas that don't seem very connected, but we believe are very connected. One is in the data space, which I think is, everyone sort of assumes that that's an obvious one for us. So how are we helping organizations, both internally and externally, how are we helping them understand how they're performing against themselves and their peer group? And the other is going to be, I think, going really deep in helping our customers better understand and create stronger relationships with their tenants. So without going into too much detail, I think those are the themes that you'll see us start to focus on in 2018 and 19.
And it's been how long since the merger with Hightower now? Is it sort of 15 months?
Yeah, about 15 months. 15 months.
And how's that all going and bedding down? Or I suppose you've probably passed that point now.
I would say we're just rounding the corner. Okay. Honestly, and one of the things that has just been as an entrepreneur, just a real eye opener is how much energy it takes to bring two companies together, even if they are very, very like minded. And I say that all in a very, very good way. But there's just a lot of things that have to settle into place. Obviously, we are migrating Hightower's customer base onto the VTS platform. So there's been a lot of moving pieces, a lot of personalities that have come into the mix. Again, I say that in a good way. And we spent the last year just making that all work together. And so now we really do feel like it's January, we're off to the races. And I think that the market will start to feel how powerful our merger really is over the next 12 to 18 months.
And how often are you over here in London? Because it is quite regularly, isn't it?
Once a month.
Once a
yeah,
month.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like clockwork, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm here for at least a week, a month, and sometimes a little bit longer.
Okay. So if anybody wants to get hold of you or meet with you, then you are pretty readily available for someone who's actually US based.
Exactly. And I'm always looking for more excuses to come here because I like it that much. So please.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us here today. And if anybody wants to hear more about hiring a CTO, how to hire a CTO, where you should be looking, what kind of skills you should be looking for, above and beyond Ryan's expert advice here today, then please do join us for our Tech Talk Live event on March the 1st. It will be an early start, 8 a.m. until 11 a.m. But for now, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. And if anybody wants to contact you, they can get you on. Are you happy to give out your email address?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. It's just Ryan@VTS.
And see if you can book an appointment on that 1 week a month that he's over here enjoying the wind and the rain. Probably probably even if it's July.
I love this weather.
There you go. Spoken like a true Brit. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Emily.
So that's a bit of a warm-up, really, to the 1st of March event, I suppose, isn't it? That, you know, if that whetted your appetite and you want to find out more about the role of a CTO and how to get one, I suppose.
Yeah, where are they all hiding?
Yeah. Under the table? I'll go have a look. They're not there.
That would be so odd.
If I just pulled a CTO out from under the table.
What are they doing there?
I don't know.
Oh, dear.
There we go.
I know. You stole my phrase.
I did. I loved it so much. So we've had some feedback, haven't we, from listeners about the show?
We have had some feedback. It's all been very positive, of course. Because of the music that I chose. But also some feedback on little tweaks and improvements that we could make.
So you have asked for us to involve some questions and answers. So what we're going to do for you now is give you a bit of a preview of people we have coming up on future shows, and if you do have anything in particular that you want us to ask them on your behalf, then email us. You can email Emily or I at our personal email addresses, which hopefully you know, or drop us an email at techtalk@egi.co.uk. But here's a bit of a rundown of who we've got coming up. So next week we are meeting ZTP, Alex and Joe from ZTP. So that is a company that helps with sustainability, so and energy costs, etc. So we're going to be talking to them around the whole of the sustainability agenda. And also really interesting for them was they want to talk about how difficult they found it to actually build a team. So we'll be talking a little bit around that. So if anyone does have any questions for those guys, then drop us an email.
And then are we carrying on from there the week after that?
We are.
Yeah. So the week after that, we've got Laura Aklendiene and Bronnie Wilson from Equiem, sort of tenant experience portal and customer engagement app and platform. And they are working with Lendlease at International Quarter London, which is exciting news for them. So I spoke to them about their global expansion.
Excellent. And then you will have seen in the news recently that Ask Porter, the AI digital assistant, has recently got £500,000 worth of investment. So they're going to come in and talk to us as well about their journey. Their investors are here too. So that's Spire Ventures. I think there's a lot of questions to be had around that sort of facilities management AI. I think there's opposing views out there about how useful they are and how big they're going to be. These guys obviously are attracting investors. So there must be... something just moved in the office. One of the dangly things.
It was not a CTO hiding under the table, that's for sure.
It might have been. So they're going to be talking to us about that. So if you've got any questions, you know what to do.
Yes, you do, and that's right with a W, could I just clarify?
Always clarify that. And as usual, if there are any people that you do want us to, I'm going to use that horrible phrase, reach out to and get on the show, then all suggestions welcome.
Well, I guess that's it.
That is it. Hopefully we've kept it short and sweet.
Yeah, short and sweet and full of great content and many dangly bits.
Many.
Many.
It's time to say goodbye.
Oh, it so is.
Goodbye, Emily Wright.
Goodbye, Sam McClary.